This year, it seems that conflicts past, present, and perhaps future are all casting a shadow over the anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Now, today, President Barack Obama and other federal leaders are holding remembrance ceremonies. Others are examining how well the government is countering today's biggest threats. For some perspective, we've called the former Homeland Security Department Chief of Staff, Chad Sweet. He now serves as CEO of the Chertoff Group, and he joins us now. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning.
So, Chad, let me just start with a very basic question. Do you think we're really safer than we were back in 2001?
No question about it. And the results speak for themselves. I think if anyone asked themselves the question on the day after 9/11, 9/12, would you have taken a $1 million wager that 12 years from now that we would have less than 100 casualties on U.S. soil while still remaining an open and free country? And I think many of us would never have been willing to take that bet. But that's exactly what's happened. It's an astonishing accomplishment, and it's a real credit to the men and women of our military who kept the threat abated abroad, as well as the Homeland Security team of the FBI, DHS, and others that are protecting us here at home.
One of the big challenges seems to be the lone wolf. I think that's something that Bob Mueller, when he was leaving the FBI just a few recently, said that that's what he worries about most, is not so much the big organized thing, but the lone wolf, the type of thing maybe we saw in the Boston Marathon bombing. What's your take on how well the apparatus that we have for Homeland Security is prepared for the lone wolf?
You know, I'd give ourselves a B. I think the reality is that is a very real threat, as Director Mueller notes. If you look at where we are today, the materials that we gathered from the compound where we killed bin Laden show a heated debate between what we'll call, you know, the older generation and the younger generation of Al-Qaeda. The 2.0 generation, the younger generation, are pushing to do lower-level attacks and to do exactly what you said, which is to radicalize isolated individuals. Bin Laden wanted to continue to do what he was famous for, which were these large, iconic attacks. And so, ironically, by killing bin Laden, we've almost unleashed a Generation 2.0, which is more of a decentralized cancer that's metastasized, and these isolated individuals who are being radicalized over the Internet, as we saw in the case of Nidal Hassan in Fort Hood or the Tsarnaev brothers in the Boston bombing, that is an extremely real threat. Now, what that means is for us as a nation, especially at a difficult time in the debate around the NSA surveillance issues, is, you know, are we prepared to do more to monitor social media? Are we prepared, for example, to also do things within my old department of DHS where we needed to have a more direct narrative on how we counter their violent extremist ideology? And so one of the recommendations that's come out just this last week from the Bipartisan Policy Center, which I support, is to actually designate an individual within DHS responsible for the actual coordination of our counter ideology to their ideology.
And overshadowing that, of course, are all these revelations about what the National Security Agency does, how it collects information, what sort of information it collects about Americans' communications. Do you think that we're at this fine point where, as much as we want to spot those lone wolves and the needles in the haystack, we maybe have gone too far in trying to track Americans?
No, first of all, to be very clear, the NSA does not track Americans, and what's called the metadata or the 215 program does not target Americans. What it does do is it aggregates. If you think about a haystack, in order to search a haystack, you have to have the hay. And so what that program does is it aggregates hay and it removes any personally identifiable information. So it only has phone numbers. It doesn't have any names, addresses. It doesn't even have it, despite what you heard in the press, it doesn't even have geolocation information on there. So what that has done, we believe, has struck a balance between not violating individual citizens' civil liberty rights, the access to the haystack still has to go through a program, the oversight that all three branches have reviewed and approved, all three branches continue to audit, and which follow the standard FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court procedures. So, and that program, you know, if we put it in context, literally, there were only 300 times it was accessed approximately in 2012, and it has yielded 54 successful disruptions. If you think about that, you know, that's a very strong result. 300 accesses, and yet you get literally, you know, 54 thwarted plots. That's a very impressive track record for this program. I think we are striking the right balance. If you look at the Tsarnaev brothers, what I would argue the opposite lesson is learned there. These programs were not able to be used to monitor those two individuals. The question that needs to be raised now for us as a society is when he was actually posting on openly on Facebook and had radical violent Islamist imams on his website, and this is after the Russian intelligence agency already tipped us off. So the question there is, do we need to do a program? If someone's out there in the open public stating these things, is that fair game? And I think we should have a debate about that as a nation and set a policy.
We're speaking with Chad Sweet. He's the CEO of the Chertoff Group and former chief of staff at Homeland Security. And now, perhaps more than then, at the original 9/11, is the issue of state-sponsored terrorism, and Syria has threatened, you know, attacks on the United States citizenry should we go ahead with our attacks on them, and Iran, the same thing. So how does Homeland Security deal with state-sponsored terrorism, or is that something DOD does? How do you figure that one out?
Well, they definitely – Homeland deals with state-sponsored terrorism on a variety of fronts, and to be blunt, I mean, al-Qaeda is very dangerous. But Hezbollah is really what I call the A team, and they, if you look at the plots that they've successfully executed and the way they do it, they're almost a paramilitary type organization and an extension of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So Hezbollah is backing and fighting to support Assad in Syria. If we do an attack to oppose that, there is a very real possibility that there will be activation of Hezbollah cells within the United States to extract retribution upon us. And so what we need to note for the Homeland side, they will be monitoring for state-sponsored cells within the United States and being ready to roll them up. There are, when I was at DHS, there's a specific program that's classified that I can't talk about where we monitor what we believe to be those cells, and we wait for moments to know when we want to go ahead and either roll them up or continue to get more intelligence by following them. But I think it does highlight the very real threat today that in a world where a nation like Syria doesn't have international ballistic missiles that they can fire at us, one of the few tools they have that they can exact retribution on us is by doing low-level terrorist attacks that incite fear within our own borders. And the second is cyber. And you may have seen this, the Syrian Electronic Army attacked Huffington Post, New York Times. Those are low-cost alternatives to ICBMs, but they can have very real impacts here at home.
All right. Chad Sweet is CEO of the Chertoff Group and former chief of staff of Homeland Security Department. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.